I invite you to stand as you are able. The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning with the first verse. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings in Christ, grace and peace to you from a God who is present with us and a Christ who redeems us in our time of need. Amen. We gather this morning, as we do once a year, to remember those who we've lost. It's always a tough service to be present at because it forces us to recall the pain and the mourning that we experienced at the time of their death. But it could also be a very meaningful time. As Americans today, we are terrified of death. We avoid it. We try at all costs to prolong its coming. And because of that, when we do lose somebody that we love, we tend to not to want to think about it again. This could be a very meaningful time for us as it calls us to remember their lives, to remember the joy and the love that we experienced in our relationship with them. It's also very appropriate that we have this gospel reading today, the Beatitudes. This time where Jesus goes up onto the mountain at the very beginning of his ministry and calls his new disciples to himself and begins to teach them, beginning every sentence with the words, "Blessed are." Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, who are hungry. Blessed are those who experience persecution and the utterance of all kinds of evil at his name. All of these people that Jesus recalls, all of these people that Jesus declare are blessed, have one thing in common. They are people who have experienced pain in their lives. People who have experienced pain at a poverty that many of us could never understand. People who have experienced pain at the hands of an oppressive empire, the likes that none of us have ever seen. In Jesus' time, it was his way of reminding people that pain and evil and suffering will never have the last say. A way to remind them that God has the final victory, not just in life, but also in death. That death will not silence us forever, but that in some way life goes on. That takes meaning for us because we gather today not just in joy at the lives, the beautiful lives that we got to experience, that we portray here on this altar, that we will light candles for later, but meaning for us in the pain. Blessed are those who experience pain. And part of this service is remembering that pain. Remembering the pain that we experience when we lose someone we love. Maybe not just even pain at their death, but also maybe pain in their life. Maybe pain in strained or broken relationships we may have had with them. Maybe pain in mistakes that were made. Maybe pain in words that were said or not said. Maybe pain in the regrets that we who are still here on earth hold on to. Jesus says so profoundly today, blessed are you in your pain. And that might be a little difficult to understand. I had a buddy in seminary, every time you would say, how are you today? He'd say, I'm blessed. We look at that word, blessed, as an acknowledgement of all the things that are going right in our lives. How can we begin to understand being blessed in our pain? That's almost counterintuitive for us. Every All Saints Sunday, I recall my own pain and loss. I've shared this before, but I lost my mother when I was 19 years old. And that's a pain that I still hold on to 12 years later. This always forces me to recall my time with her. And as I was preparing for this sermon, as I was looking at the text, as I was thinking about how we can be blessed in our own pain at the loss of those who we've loved, I was sitting down watching TV, and a very special movie came on, Field of Dreams. How many of you have seen Field of Dreams? I'm going to ruin the movie for you today. So if you haven't seen it, that's your fault. It's like 20 years old. My mom grew up in Iowa, Waterloo, Iowa, to be precise, which was about 45 miles away from Dyersville, Iowa, where they filmed the movie Field of Dreams. And there's this line that happens in the movie all the time. My mom had a sticker of this on her closet door, but the line is this heaven? And the response is always, no, it's Iowa. And only Iowa people would appreciate that, because anyone who's ever visited Iowa would never think of it as heaven. And so the story of the Field of Dreams is about a guy named Ray Kinsella, who is a farmer in Iowa. He's a corn farmer, and he hears this message. This voice comes to him and says, if you build it, he will come. And he has no idea what it means, but he has this vision of a baseball field. And so it's a completely crazy idea, but he takes a significant portion of his cornfield and he mows it down and he creates a baseball field. And the whole town thinks he's crazy because this is going to reduce his crop to such a level that there's going to be no way he can afford to stay on his land. But for some crazy idea, he does it anyways. And he doesn't know why, but he has faith. And as he's at dinner one night, he looks out onto the baseball field, and there's someone out there. And he walks out, and it's Shoeless Joe Jackson, who was a player in the 1921 Chicago White Sox. And there was a scandal in 1921. 8 of the starters for the Chicago White Sox were banned from ever playing baseball again. And Shoeless Joe was lumped into the group, but he was innocent. And so he begins to think, if he builds this baseball field, it's Shoeless Joe Jackson who can come back and play baseball again. And then as time goes on, the entire 1921 Chicago White Sox come back, and they're able to play baseball again. And then as time goes on, more and more of these famous baseball players come, and they're able to play on his baseball field. And he looks out onto this, and it's just magic. It's magic that he gets to experience. It's magic that his wife and his daughter gets to experience in seeing these famous baseball players come back from life and experience something they love. So he thinks that this is the purpose, this is the reason why he had to build this baseball field. But then he gets another message: ease his pain. He has no idea what it means. And as he's searching, he finds that there's a civil rights writer named Terrence Mann, who he thinks he is called to go and search out and ease his pain. And as he goes on his travels, searching out Terrence Mann and finding him and discovering what this voice is trying to tell him, you start to get kind of a glimpse at Ray Kinsella's life. You learn that his father was an avid baseball player who almost made it to the majors, but couldn't quite get there and held on to that regret for his life, and then wanted his son to take up his mantle and play baseball instead. You discover this very strange relationship between them. Finally, you learn that Ray Kinsella, the last thing he ever says to his father is he could never respect someone whose hero was a criminal, referring to Shoeless Joe Jackson, knowing he was innocent but wanting to simply hurt this person in his life. And you learn that Ray Kinsella holds on to this pain because his father dies, and that's the last thing he ever said to him. For decades, he holds on to the pain and the regret in knowing that his last time on earth with his father was a moment of brokenness. And this is where I spoil the movie for you, but at the very end, Ray is trying to understand why he was doing all of this. What's in it for him? And Shoeless Joe Jackson looks at him and says, "If you build it, he will come." And Ray looks over and sees this guy taking off his catcher's mask, and it's his father. And so they come together, and his father doesn't recognize him at first, but thanks him for building this field so that him and the players can come and play. And Ray is just so blown away because he gets to introduce his father to his wife and to his granddaughter for the very first time. And then they have this conversation. Again, his father asks, "Is this heaven?" Ray says, "No, it's Iowa." And his father looks around and says, "I could have sworn this was heaven." And then Ray asks his dad, "Is there a heaven?" His dad says, "Oh, yeah. It's the place where dreams come true." In that moment, Ray looks at his father, and then he looks at his wife and his daughter and this beautiful moment. He says, "Maybe this is heaven." How can we feel blessed in our pain? How can we feel blessed when we lose somebody that we love? When that hurts so bad to know that they're not there in your life anymore? But we are blessed. We're blessed because of the time that we did get. We're blessed because of the love that was shared. We're blessed because of the memories that get to stay with us, that we get to hold on to after they've passed. We're blessed because we get to experience the truth that heaven is not just this place we go to when we die, but it is this thing that we get to experience now, most prominently in the love and the relationships that we have with those around us, as short as they may be. We are blessed in our pain and in our grief because it is a sign that we loved. It is a sign that we got to experience this life the way that God meant for us to experience it, with each other. And we are blessed in our pain because it does not have the final say. We have something so unique as Christians in this world. Whatever regret, whatever heartache we hold on to in those that we've lost, it doesn't last forever. As I watched Field of Dreams probably for the millionth time a few weeks ago, thinking about this sermon, I began to ask myself, what would I do if I had one more moment? What would I say? Would I spend time on heartache and regret? Or would I focus just on love? Would I share what I've done with my life and talk about my daughter? That's not a dream that can be unrealized. Death does not have the final say in our world. We have the gift in knowing that when we say goodbye, it's not forever. And one day we will be able to share that dream again. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.